Lord, we do long to worship you. Lord, thank you that you invite us into your presence to worship you. Thank you, Lord, that you're not obscure, you're not hidden, but Lord, you're available for us to be able to come to you at any time. We thank you that we can come together as a corporate body in here today to worship you. And we pray, Lord Jesus, as we do, Lord, you will be glorified and honored in all we say and all we do. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. As Hal mentioned, it is Sanctity of Life Day. We read part of Psalm 139 earlier. This is a great day to celebrate life, but it's also a day that's very hard on a lot of people. And maybe you are one in this room today that this is a hard day when we talk about things like this, because maybe a decision was made in your life or a decision was made for you in your life that caused an abortion. We want you to know this. Jesus Christ loves you. He offers hope. He offers forgiveness. He offers a future. He offers peace for you. We're not here to condemn anyone. We're here to support you and love you and offer the grace that God gives to us. Some sins are more visible than other sins. And sometimes we look at certain sins as worse than others. God offers hope for all. God offers healing and forgiveness for all. So I want you to know that. And I want you to feel that hope and that forgiveness that Christ gives to us. On September the 11th, 2001, over 4,000 people were killed in one of the worst tragedies that ever happened on American soil. 9/11 was one of those horrible, horrible days. There were future leaders of this nation, doctors who could have saved many. Scientists may have found a cure for cancer. Evangelists who may have led thousands to the Lord. They were loved. Yes, on September the 11th, 2001, evildoers killed over 4,000 people. But the truth is that many people don't realize that on September the 12th, 2001, another 4,000 people died. And on September the 13th and the 14th, and the 15th, and the 16th, and every day since, 4,000 people have died. 2,800 every week, 112,000 each month, 1,460,000 every year. Our Supreme Court finally declared that it was back to the states, that it was not a national right. And every state has had to agree what they want to do about abortion. Unfortunately, our state, Colorado, says that it's okay to abort a child up until the point of birth. Many states have banned abortion. In Texas alone, since the passage of the Supreme Court, abortions are down 99% in Texas alone. Colorado is saying, come here. Folks, we got some work to do to educate some people and help some people understand. Because human life has little value in our society today. And I know many of you think, well, I know that's abortion. That doesn't affect me. I'm not going to have any children. It's past that time. It's not there. Folks, that's just one of the places where it begins. This is Sanctity of Life Day. This is not Abortion Day. This is about life. We often talk about life from the cradle to the grave. But I believe we must go farther, from the womb to the tomb. because life begins in the womb, not at the cradle. And it also ends in this life at the tomb. If we don't protect those who can't protect themselves, soon, and very soon, it's already happening, laws will be passed which allow assisted suicides. Laws will be passed that say what is value and what is not in a human life. And soon, many of you will be in a category where the government or doctors or some will say, you're no value anymore. And when you're of no value, then we can take your life. And that will happen. During the recent COVID crisis that came across our land, in many states, New York and others, they forced people with COVID into nursing homes. And they made them go in, and during that time, many of our elderly people died alone, without their families, in nursing homes because the government did not think that there was much value to their life. God places value on every life. Every life. Not the way the world sees value. We sometimes look at value by how much talent a person has, how much they can offer to the world, how much they can give to the world. Are they healthy? Are they have all their mental capacity? But God says all life is important. Human life has little value in our society. The lack of value for life today is the result of godlessness. It's when we have taken God out of our society. And because of that, for over 100 years, our colleges and our high schools have taught us that human beings are nothing more than highly organized cells. And that our children are taught that they are accidents, nothing more than time or chance or matter. Our society has rejected the belief that humans have intrinsic dignity because they are created in the image of God. Because if we have no creator, then we're all just accidents. We're all just something that just climbed out of some primordial slime billions of years ago and became what we are. God says something different. God says we are created by Him. We are created in His image. Indeed, there is a creator. There is a moral lawgiver in our world. What more? We are even less special, some people think, than animals, because there are so many of us who are not endangered. We have laws to protect the endangered. But what about people? The Endangered Species Act, which was passed by our government, says this. It protects 3 amphibians, 56 birds, 7 clams, 2 crustaceans, 29 fish, 8 mammals, 21 reptiles, 2 snails, and 42 plants, and their unborn offspring, but not an unborn human baby. Goodyear Tire spent $35,000 to surgically attack fins on a pregnant loggerhead sea turtle, which has suffered a shark attack. A spokesman for the company commented, "We're doing this for all motherhood." A Florida man was arrested for stealing turtle eggs from the beach. He defended himself by saying that eggs were not yet live. They said, "No, they are," and he was convicted and he was fined. To the law, a turtle egg is alive, but not an unborn baby. And there are those of some of the outrageous fines recently leveled by our courts. And I'm not saying that it's nice to kill animals. I'm just saying this is the difference we live in our world. There was a man who was fined $4,000 for killing a cat. Someone tortured and killed a rabbit and was given a $13,000 fine and 60 days in jail. One man was fined $10,000 for killing a tree, but no fines for killing a baby even partially born. Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." Now we can go into that other part. The end of that says, "Male and female, he created them." There's not 217 different. It's male and female. In Ephesians 2:10, we said the scripture reads this: "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." God is the one who has given life, and he has given us not any right to take that life. Only God has the right to do that. A professor in a world-acclaimed medical school once posed this medical situation to his class. It was an ethics problem. He said, "Let me give you the family history." He said, "The father has syphilis. The mother has tuberculosis. They've already had four children. The first is blind. The second has died. The third is deaf. And the fourth has tuberculosis. Now the mother is pregnant again. The parents come to you for advice. They're willing to have an abortion if you decide they should. What do you say?" And the students gave various individual opinions, and then the professor asked them to break into small groups for consultation. All the groups came back to report that they would recommend an abortion. And the professor said, "Congratulations. You just took the life of Beethoven." Who gave us the right to take life? No one. God is the author of life, and God is the one who is able to do that. Who is to decide who is to live or die? Only God. We've been made by God, and that makes us special. We've been created in his image. He desired that all of us become his sons and daughters and join him in heaven for eternity. Not only are human life has little value in our society, but we are valuable because God knows us. God knows you. God knows everything about us. In Luke 12:7, he says, "He even the number of our hair on our head, God knows." I make it easy on God. Keep up with mine. Psalm 139, as we come back to that, says this. David wrote this at a time in his life when he was being falsely accused. King Saul was telling anyone who would listen that David was a traitor. So in Psalm 139, David calls on God. He calls on God for help because he's being falsely accused. All these things are happening. He knows that he'd been chosen by God. In verses 1 through 6, he says this: "Lord, you know me. You search me. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. You understand my thoughts from far away. You observe my travels and my rest. You are aware of my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know all about it, Lord. You've encircled me. You have placed your hand on me. This extraordinary knowledge is beyond me. It's lofty. I'm unable to comprehend it." God knows everything about you. God knew you before you were even you. Praise God. Before you even knew you, before your parents knew you, God knew you. Before he formed you in the womb, God knew you. And he still knows you today, and he still has a plan for your life. Praise God for that. And some people may be here today and say, God doesn't care about me. Yes, he does. He cares greatly about you. Everyone God cares about. He loves. And he has a plan. At the beginning of verse 13, David said this: "Lord, you made me. You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb." He's saying, you created the spiritual part of me, my inmost being. You created the physical part of me in my mother's womb. He says, you knit me together. He made a masterpiece out of you. He did that. He says, I know what you're doing every moment of every day. I know your thoughts. I know some of you are thinking right now, what's that smell in the kitchen coming, you know? God knows that. I'm glad I can't read minds. Aren't you? He says, I know you. Sometimes it makes that a little uncomfortable. It makes me a little uncomfortable sometimes. God, you know everything. You know what I just thought? You know what I just thought about that person? What if it was out loud? You know, sometimes we don't say it with our mouth, but our face says it. You ever been there? But God knows. God, he says, verse 4, you know me completely. It means when you take off, for those of you ladies in that class, when you take off your mask, you find out you can be yourself. And God says, I like you for who you are. Now, the first time you go to someone's house, someone says, you probably don't just walk in, take a tour of their house without them suggesting it. You usually don't go look in the refrigerator and make yourself at home. But after a relationship is developed, you might do that. You might just come in the door or knock on the door. I'm here. And come in the door and do that. You might feel like make yourself at home. And people say that. Hey, make yourself at home. Usually when they say that, I go get a steak out of the freezer and go cook it up. And no, they don't do that. That's not what they mean, do they? But God says, I want to know you in that way. I want you to feel comfortable knowing me and being with me and doing that. God knows everything about us underneath that no one else knows, and God still loves us because we're special to him. We are created uniquely in God's image. God makes several things very plain in his creation. Some teach that, sometimes people teach that God's in the flowers or God's in the trees or God's in the mountains. He's in the wind or in nature. New Age mysticism is just a revival of old age paganism that says God's in all these things. No, God's not in those things. God's in you. He created us different. He made us different. Paul warned the Romans about those things. He said, don't worship the creation or confuse it with the Creator. We're distinct from all other creatures in life that are made in the image of God. The Bible is clear that he first created the animal kingdom, then he created man in his own image. God did not make the animals in his image. God did not give the animals a soul. Are there going to be animals in heaven? Yes, there's going to be animals in heaven. I know there is, because Jesus is going to come back riding on a horse. So we know at least there's one. But they're not there because they have a soul. Man is created different. We're made in the image of God. We have an intellect. We're able alone to conceptualize that there is a God. There really is a God, and we can think about that. Animals can be trained, and they can be trained to do a lot of amazing things. But they can't think like we can. Man has the complex emotions of love, hate, anger, joy, and compassion. Now, I do believe cats have the emotion of hate, anger, and some of those things. God gave man a will to be able to decide and to choose to do those things. If God did all that for humans, then any sin against human life is a sin against God. But see, if God didn't create life, if we are not, we don't really have a creator, and God's not a part of it, then anything against human life is not against God. That's why people don't want to believe in God. They don't want to believe that there is a God, because if I have to believe there is a God, I have to acknowledge that He is Creator, and I have to acknowledge that anything I do against a human life is against the Creator of His creation. All things are created. The first account we ever hear in the Bible in Genesis of a life being taken was when Cain killed his brother Abel. And listen to what the Bible says in Genesis 4:10. He said that Abel's blood cried out to God. The life and the blood cried out to God. Can you imagine the sound in heaven of 4,000 babies a day crying out to God? Their blood. But God knows us. He knows you. He knows you even before you take your first breath. The scripture says in Jeremiah 1, verse 5, it says, I chose you before I formed you in the womb. I set you apart before you were born. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. The Hebrew word formed is the word yastar. It's a word that's used by potters when they mold and shape their clay into a particular shape, like pouring in a mold. It means that we are squeezed into a predetermined shape, that God has formed us before He even brought us into existence. He told the prophet here, He said, I knew you long before you were you. And He knew us before long before we were us. God made us in that way. The Hebrew word to know here is yada. The yada word is different than what we would say, hey, I know you. Don't I know you? Don't I know you? This is the intimate word that is used to describe a husband and wife as they come together in an intimate relationship. They know each other. And God says, I intimately know you. Praise God that He does. That God knows us in that way. And He has a plan for our life. It also is a personal commitment to an intimate experience with a person that is known, that He does that for us. We're valuable. Even before we were born, we were valuable. You know, I remember having a professor in college at a Christian university who said, at that point, that time, back in the 70s, whenever this was right, when all this was happening with abortion, we had a discussion on abortion, and he said, I believe that a baby is only a human once it becomes viable outside the womb. And at that time, it was 28, 30 weeks was the youngest or the most formed child that had lived outside the womb. So there were several of us in the class raised our hands and said, so what happens when medical advances change and we're able to keep a child earlier and earlier outside the womb? Does that mean that now they're human and they weren't before? He didn't have a big answer for that one. Folks, we don't know. Only God knows. And there are instances right now of children. We had a family in our church that had a child that was born that was 1.6 pounds. He could take his wedding ring off and put it on his arm all the way up here to the top of his arm. He was that little. He went on to graduate from high school. He went on to graduate from Texas A&M University, and now he's a businessman in Texas. Most of us would have said, he's not going to make it. Impossible. But he did. None of us know. It's God's choice, not ours. We are valuable. He says, your works, God, are wonderful. In Psalm 139, 14. Your works, God, are wonderful. You know what? You're one of God's works, and you're wonderful. You believe that? So you think, I'm a mistake. there's nothing good about me. I want you to think for a minute. I want you to think that you are wonderful, wondrous. You're wondrous is what that passage says. You are wonderful. Everybody just say it with me. I am wonderful. Oh, thank you for saying you are wonderful. No, I want you to say I am wonderful. You're wonderful. Turn to your spouse or your neighbor or your friend and look at them and say, you're wonderful. Why are they wonderful? Because God made them wonderful. If God made them wonderful, they're wonderful. And maybe you've never understood that or believed that, and you think that maybe you're a mistake or maybe that God doesn't have a plan for your life, but God does, because you are precious in God's sight. All life is precious in God's sight. Some of you maybe have read the book by Jen Miller. My wife is currently reading that book and trying to finish that up. It's a very difficult book. She is a pastor's wife here in our community who had 5 miscarriages or more and 3 born children who all died with a horrible DNA type of disease before they were 4 years old. And sometimes we look at that and go, why? Only God knows. Only God knows. But I guarantee you, Jim would say every one of those precious children were wonderful because they were created by God. And there was a purpose and a plan, whatever that was, I don't know. But God made that plan. And only God knows. And one of these days, she's going to be in heaven and she's going to meet those children for sure. Folks, if we don't think that every life is wonderful, and if we don't think that every life is valuable, and if we don't think that every life has purpose and plans, then it's easy for us to discount and say, that one's not worthy. It's not our choice. It's God's. And it's only God's. It's Sanctity of Life Day. What does that mean? That means that every life is precious. Every life. From the womb to the tomb, you're precious. It's not going to be long till we're going to see euthanasia. And that's not a bunch of young people in another country. Euthanasia means that when something is not valuable, we just take care of it. And we're going to see that more and more in our country, in our land. Because if life has no meaning and no purpose outside of God, then it's just another animal to be taken care of. And we say, well, you know, it doesn't bother me or affect me. It will. If we don't stand up for people's lives here and now, one of these days it may be us. It may be your family. It may become a time when they say, oh, you're 80 years old, or you're 76 years old, or you're 69 years old, then we don't treat you anymore. You're beyond the age of being able to get medical treatment. So we cut you off. But we'll help you die if you want. It's a crazy life, a crazy world in which we live in, because we've taught a generation that life has no real meaning. But God says it does. We must trust Him and believe Him and believe what the Word says. Before you were you, God knew you. Before He formed you in the womb, He already had a plan for your life. Trust Him with His plan. Trust Him with who He is. Stand up for yourself, but stand up for others. Because some don't have a voice. We have a pregnancy care center here in our community our church supports. It's there for those who are in an unwanted pregnancy. It's there for those who are in a wanted pregnancy, but they just need help. And in that place, there's ability to have doctors. There's ability to have provision for them. There's ability for them to have furnitures and different things and stuff like that. They even do ultrasounds there, which allows that mom to see that it is a living baby inside of them. Support those who stand up for life in all things. Bow your head with me today. Maybe you feel like God made a mistake when he made you, or maybe you're here this morning and it's hard because maybe of a decision you made in your life at a different time in a different place. Maybe because you wanted to, maybe because a parent wanted to, maybe because a boyfriend wanted to, maybe because a girlfriend wanted to. It doesn't just affect the women. It affects the men too. Whatever it is, let God bring peace and healing to you today. That's what he wants to do. Let his grace flow over you and give you hope and a future. Father, I pray that, Lord, as we think about who you are and the life that you created, thank you, Lord, that we are wonderfully made, that you created our inmost being, that you formed us and you have a plan for us. May we trust you with that plan. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Please stand with me as we sing this song. It says, prepare me to be your sanctuary, Lord. That's what he created you for. For him to come live inside of you and be a part of your heart and of your life.